Well, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I want to talk to you about being an overcoming believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus made a simple statement at the end of John chapter 16. He said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, some of you may not be much into Bible prophecy, and you would say, "Well, I don't know about all of these things that might come to pass." But this one prophetic word that Jesus uttered, I know you believe it because you have experienced it. In this world, Jesus didn't say you may have tribulation, you might have tribulation, you could have tribulation, you possibly will have tribulation. It's somebody said when he sends tribulation, he expects you to tribulate. And so for most of us, there have been periods of time in our lives, I'm going to look around the flags that you can see me. I'm wide enough to stick out past the flags on both sides. So in this world, you're going to go through some difficulty. In even a day when churches are growing, churches are advancing, and the cause of Christ is being spread, the name of Jesus being lifted up around the world, there's still going to be troubles and tribulation. And Jesus prophesied that from the very beginning. If you read through the Gospel of Matthew, you come to Matthew chapter 13, which is a parable, which is a whole collection of parables. And you also read in Matthew that most familiar parable is about a sower that goes forth to sow. And as they're sowing, some of it falls by the wayside. The birds come down and carry it away. Some of it falls on stony ground. It comes up quickly, and then when the sun comes out, it just kind of withers away. Some of it falls among the thorns and the thistles, and they grow up and choke it. And some of it falls on good ground to bring forth a great harvest. Well, right there at the very beginning, when Jesus was talking about the expansion of the kingdom of God, he is saying that sometimes, before the gospel can even take root in a person's life, tribulation is going to come, and the enemy is going to be present to pluck away the seed of God's word. Sometimes it's going to be the cares and the problems that are going to press down upon you are just the gospel is almost going to the wilt away in your life, and sometimes there's going to be thorns and thistles grow up, and then by chance, if it falls on good ground and it begins to come up. Jesus in another parable said that while you're resting at night and you're just letting nature take its course, the rain, if it ever rains, and the sun by the daytime, and the warming of the soil and the germinating of the seed, and it's coming up. And while, he says, while men slept, an enemy comes in and sows tares among the wheat that comes up. And so there's a different kind of tribulation that comes up. And Jesus told about how a mustard seed, a little bitty seed, could be put in the ground, and it grows up into a great bush. But then he said the birds come and lodge in that bush. And he told about how a woman took some dough and put some leaven in it, and that leaven spreads and permeates everything. And so time and again, even in what Jesus said, he's saying, while the kingdom is going to advance, while the gospel is going to spread, while people are going to hear the word of God, at the same time, the enemy is not silent, he does not sleep, and he is at work in the world. And I will say to you this morning, while you may be going through one of the greatest spiritual times of growth in your life that you've ever known, the enemy is not silent, he is not asleep, and he is at work. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And this morning, and again next Sunday morning, I'm going to look at some of those times when we go through tribulation. Now, this morning we're going to talk about how that we're going to be in a place of difficulty, but today it's about difficult people. We know we're going to hit some tribulation because we're going to live among difficult people. And we know we're going to hit some tribulation. In Romans chapter 13, Jesus talks about life in these United States of America. He was talking about life in the Roman Empire. But he talks about in Romans chapter 13 how we're to obey authority, we're to pray for those that are in authority over us, how we're supposed to pay our taxes. Can I get an amen? I thought not, maybe, not get an amen. But how we're going to go through difficulty. You see, you can have you can be around difficult people. I can get amen out of that. And you can be in a difficult place. Honestly, folks, when we consider the whole world, we are not the people that are living in the difficult place. And I don't know when I've ever seen our nation in such an uproar as it is today, but we are not the people living in the difficult place. There's much more difficult places than what we have in this world. And most of this world would give anything if they could live where we live. But the Word of God says you might find yourself in a difficult place. And then it says that you may find yourself living in a difficult period of time. Certainly, as we approach the end of time, as we approach the last days, then we're going to find ourselves living in a time when He says, now it is high time for you to awake out of your sleep, because your salvation is nearer at hand than when you believe. But this morning, I want you to think with me about what it is to live among difficult people. I heard about a guy that went home from church one Sunday, and he told his wife, he said, I am never going back to that place ever again. And she told him, you have to go back. And he said, I'm never going back. And she said, well, you've got to. And he said, no, I'm not. She said, you've got to, and I'll give you three good reasons. Number one, you're an adult. Number two, you're somewhat mature. And number three, you're the preacher. You got to go back. In this life, there are difficult people. I want you to look with me, Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Now, what Paul is writing here is exactly what Jesus said. I'm going to show you this in a moment. If it be possible, aren't we glad this verse is worded this way? If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men and women. I added that. Self-defense. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Difficult people. They're everywhere. And so you start to school, and how many of you rode a bus to school? Okay, that's a lot of us. Difficult people on the bus. People who want to hog the whole seat. Don't want you to sit by them. Go sit somewhere else. This is my seat. Difficult people who always knew all the answers to the tests in school. Difficult people who were your teachers. Difficult people when you're in a race to be valedictorian in the class give you a C. Difficult people who were your mother. Difficult people. My mom gave me a C. And I was in a race to be valedictorian. She was my English teacher. She gave me a C. And she could have as easily given me B. I brought it up to the supper table. Immediately told by my father, shut my mouth. Difficult people at work. You got to have a job. You got to work. You got to have employment. Difficult people. But I think in some ways, Paul's just not just talking about all these difficulties, all these difficult people. He's also talking about difficult people in the body of Christ. difficult people that you know in your Sunday school class, difficult people that will take advantage of you if they get a chance, just difficult people. And yet the Word of God says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, you be at peace with all men. God wants the church to get along, and God wants people to get along with each other, and He wants us to be nice to one another. Through these verses, he continues verse by verse to give instruction as to how to overcome evil, and it goes against everything that we have been taught in life and by this world. But all of this is consistent with what Jesus Christ had to say. Jesus said words like this, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. This same Jesus gave us instruction on turning the other cheek. We don't like to do that. And generally we think, we want to say, okay, so turn the other cheek. That means if you turn my cheek, I'm going to turn your cheek. Well, that's not what he said. Not at all. He spoke of giving away your cloak when they asked for your coat. He spoke of going the second mile. Every little boy growing up in Judea knew how far 1 mile was from their house because any Roman soldier could compel a young man to pick up his bundle and carry it for a mile. As a matter of fact, the Romans had built such a system of roads in Judea and across Israel that those mile markers are still being dug up. They've been in the ground for over 2,000 years, and they're still finding Roman mile markers. And a boy would know how far he should walk. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, then it means this. It's not just that you follow the mile that you're obligated to go by the law. You go a second mile. Why? Because it's a witness. It's a witness. If someone compels you to go a mile, go with him too. If you're good to those that are good to you, then what gain is that? But if you're good to those who are not good to you, then you have risen and taken life to a whole different level. Generally speaking, when it comes to dealing with difficult people, the people that mistreat us, there are three options, and I can only think of three options in response to those that hate you. Number one would be to retaliate. You would retaliate against those that hate you. Number two would be to endure. Just try to hold up under it to those that would hate you. So you could retaliate and say, well, I'm going to get even, or you could endure it and just suffer under it, or you could rise above it. And it's this idea of rising above it that we want to talk about this morning. In recent days, as I've watched the news, they keep talking about things that are happening in Washington, D.C., where the Congress is trying to press the Justice Department or the FBI to give them whole documents, not documents that are, they use the word, and I've heard it used a lot, words that are redacted, which basically means you get a document and then somebody comes along with a black pen and they mark out everything they don't want you to see or they don't want you to know about. And so they mark out, and I think some folks approach the Word of God. And there are verses, of course, like, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, they like that one. Or, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. They like that one. They like the great I am passages. I am the bread of life. I am living water. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. They like all of those. They would go through and make, but if they could, they would take a pen, and they would mark out the parts of the Bible. They just rub them out completely, not with a highlighter so that your eyes go to them, but they would black them out, and we would say, we have a redacted Bible. We're going to take out all the things we don't like. And I think, generally speaking, when it comes to turning the other cheek, going the second mile, carrying somebody's burden, giving them your coat and your cloak, not getting even, not recompensing or revenge or paying back. Those are passages that we might think I will redact that. I heard about a pastor in Mississippi that got up one Sunday and began to read God's Word, and he'd had a frustrating time in his church. Obviously, he'd had a frustrating time, and as he read a passage of Scripture, he said, you all don't believe that, and he just took it and tore it out of his Bible. They just tore his check up, I guess, after that too, because it's over. We can't say that. We can't approach it that way. Not God's word. We don't have the option of redacting it. And yet what I tell you this morning in these verses is some of the hardest text in all of God's word for us to grasp and to say, that's how I'm going to live my life. It's almost a greater miracle. I mean, you come to the Red Sea and we read about how God parted the Red Sea and Moses and the children of Israel went over on dry land. We look at how God sent down fire from heaven and consumed the altar and the sacrifice on top of Mount Carmel, and we say that was a great miracle. And Jesus said, if you believe, you have faith, you can say to this mountain, be thou moved and cast in the sea. And you say, that would be a great miracle. Or in the days of Elisha, when they dug ditches in the desert and God miraculously filled them with water, that is a great miracle. But sometimes it's just as great a miracle for you to be nice to somebody that's not nice to you. It's not the gospel in leather. It's gospel in the clothes that you've got on to say, I will not pay them back. I will not get even with them. I will not try to have vengeance. It's one of the greatest miracles that there could be. This passage of Scripture gives us four specific instructions. The first one is found in verse 18. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men and women. If it be possible. So what it is saying here is, don't go looking for a fight. Don't go looking for a fight. As much as lies in you. Well, you've got Jesus in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You're a Spirit-filled Christian. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed on the day of redemption. And you said, there is that person. Now, he doesn't say that in every case, all the time, you'll be able. He says, if it be possible, as much as lies within you, as far as it depends on you, be at peace. It may not always be possible, but it is a lot more possible and peaceable than we often think. Take them to lunch. Give them a Snickers bar. That ought to buy some peace. It works with Betty. Do something nice. But that runs against my nature. But it doesn't run against God's nature. It doesn't run against the Spirit of Christ. So choose peace if possible. Here's the second thing. Don't retaliate. Verse 14 says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Don't retaliate. Don't think about getting even. You say, well, I'm going to pay them back. I don't know about you, but I don't want any more debts than what I have. And if you live your life thinking, I'm going to get even, 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 I'm going to get even. If you live your life saying, I owe them, I would just encourage you to erase that debt altogether. You say, well, I will forgive them when they apologize. What does the text say? Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Who best exhibited an example for us of this? Well, it was none other than Jesus Christ. But you find it in a lot of the disciples of Christ. And you find it throughout the pages of God's Word. If it be possible, as much as in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 17, recompense to no man, evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Don't live your life trying to pay somebody back. I've heard it said, never get in a fight with a skunk. You can't win. You can't win. I've also heard it said, never get down in the mud and wrestle with a pig. You're going to be a mess and the pig will enjoy it. So don't do it. So choose peace if possible. Don't retaliate. Let God fight your battles. This is one of the hardest things. Look in verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We all want to defend ourselves. Now, I'm speaking to adults here, and this passage says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Bullies are always going to come along in life, and we find bullies even when we're adults. There's a different way when they're children. We're talking about kids. We're talking about what they're going to encounter as they go through life. I think this passage is written to the mature, to men and women that have walked with the Lord Jesus Christ for a while, and just understand that God will fight your battles. He will. Give place unto wrath. Avenge not yourselves. Give place unto wrath, for vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You say, well, I've got to speak up for myself. Now, social media. Folks, it's a dangerous world to be in when you can attack someone and not have to look them in the eye. You may even try to reprove someone. And back in another day, we would sit down and write a letter, write a note to someone. And you're writing a letter, you write a note. Now if you're sending an email or you're sending a text, what is the tone of the email? What is the tone of the text? You don't always get that if you're not sitting down having a conversation with someone. And so now we're living in a day, I mentioned a few weeks ago, that I was unfriended, and I'm not even on Facebook. So I don't even know how that happened. But your friends, you say, well, okay, so I'm accused of doing this, and I need to set the record straight. Well, there may be times when you have to set the record straight, but your friends don't need to hear your defense, and your enemies won't believe it anyway. You can come to the defense of a friend, but sometimes in life, it's the best thing is to take the philosophy of Nehemiah, who said when he was attacked and they tried to get him to come down to the land of Ono to have a meeting, he said, I'm doing a good work and I can't come down. You've got to keep pushing ahead. We cannot allow ourselves to be distracted by the distractions of the world and by the detractors that are out there. You can't stop to kick at every barking dog. You got to keep moving ahead. This is what he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And then, here's the fourth thing, we have to rise above our natural tendencies. Look in verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, let him be hungry. That's not what it says. If thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Feed your enemy. Give him something to drink. And then we come to this coals of fire passage of Scripture. You say, yes, absolutely. I know what I'm going to do to him. I know what I'm going to do to her. I'm going to set them on fire. This is the loving Christian thing to do. I am going to dump my charcoal grill on their head. You shall heap coals of fire upon their head. And it's just going to bother them, and I'm just going to dump this on them, and it's going to bother them, and they're not going to be able to sleep at night. I got news for you. A lot of people that cause you a lot of trouble, they sleep pretty good. They just going to go home and go to sleep. Because somehow they've justified within themselves that they've done the right thing, so they're going to go home and go to sleep. They sleep just fine. You say, don't you think when a person's out of God's will and they're running from God that they have trouble sleeping? Well, Jonah didn't. He's running from God, his little old flight away from God. He goes down the bottom of the ship, a great storm comes up. He sleeps right on through it. Get up, sleeper. No, that's not what it's talking about. Dr. Woodrow Kroll says there are various interpretations of this passage about the coals of fire. He said one is that it is a quotation from Proverbs 25:22, and it reflects an Egyptian ritual in which a man showed repentance by carrying a pan of charcoal on his head. Now I can just see walking around with a dish pan of charcoal on our head to say, I've repented. I'm sorry. He said this was a dynamic symbol of the change of mind. An equally appropriate view is that heaping coals of fire on the head refers to the sense of shame and punishment or remorse that is engendered in the mind of your enemy when you show kindness to him or her. And then Dr. Kenneth Wiest, the great Greek scholar, said, in Bible times, an Oriental needed to keep his fire, his home fire, his hearth fire going all the time in order to ensure fire for cooking and warmth. If it went out, he had to go to a neighbor and get some live coals of fire. These he would carry on his head in a container, Oriental fashion, back to his house. The person who would give him some live coals would be meeting his desperate need and showing him an outstanding kindness. If we would heap the container with coals, the man would be sure of getting some home still burning. The one injured would be returning kindness for the injury. The only thing a Christian is allowed to give back to the one who has injured him is kindness. I read of a Christian who had a field that had to be irrigated. He'd put a dam across a little creek, and he'd get water to irrigate his field out of that little dammed up spot in the creek. And his neighbor down the hill didn't take too kindly to it, so he would tear out the dam. And the man would get up in the morning and the dam would be gone. He'd build it back during the day, get up the next morning, the dam would be gone. Finally, he figured out what to do. And that is, if he got up in the morning and the first thing he did was water his neighbor's field, then he would always have enough water for himself. Same principle. When you're this kind of person, you're showing the love of Jesus Christ, the conviction of the Lord, a heart for change, loving your neighbor, you're overcoming evil with good. And that's what it says in verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Can you outlast them? I mean, I don't know about the difficult situation you're in right now, but if you're not in one right now, you will find yourself in one. Years ago, I heard a preacher preach a sermon. The title of the sermon was Compassion Makes a Difference. He used a passage in Jude, verse 21. I don't give any chapter references because there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. So verse 21 through 23 in the book of Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. This was his whole point in his sermon. Compassion does make a difference. There are all those folks. Verse 23 in the book of Jude says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted of the flesh. There are those folks that you're going to run onto that you got to be very direct with. I'm talking about people that don't know Christ. Even in preaching, there are those sermons that you got to go for the jugular, man. You got to get a hold of their heart and help them to understand. There's as that dear little lady used to say to me at the first church I pastored, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Every Sunday morning, she'd go out the door and she'd say, Brother Monty, you got to tell them there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Well, there is a hell. There is judgment. There is vengeance. God says there's a great getting up morning coming. And you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And people need to understand that for them to not know Christ, it is like you're reaching in to rescue a brand from the burning. You're pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that is soiled with the flesh. But then there are other people over time. If you love them and you care about them, compassion will make a difference in their life. You say, but they're not interested in my Savior, but your Savior's interested in them. They have no desire to come to God, but someday, they're going through a tough stretch. They're in a hard time in their life. And it doesn't matter whether they've moved your fence on you or whether their dog has tore up your yard or whether they've been just flat out rude and unkind, or what they've done to your trash can or your garbage, or what they've done at your office, or how they've shirked along the way and how they've reported on you when you left 2 minutes early to go home, or what they've done that has just upset your apple cart. Someday, if you continue kind to them, God's going to, honestly, folks, he says, vengeance is mine. God is the one who sets the record straight. If you just continue on faithfully, someday he's going to open the door for you to help them. Sometimes we're living among difficult people. Sometimes we're living in a difficult place. Sometimes we're living in a difficult period. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And that now, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We're living in a day. You say, well, I don't know that we're living in the last day. But it could be your last day. I don't want to go out with bitterness in my life, with hatred in my heart, with unforgiveness, not willing to forgive. When I get down on my knees to pray and I ask the Lord to forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me, it's not that everything hangs on my forgiveness, but it is a principle that is a written principle in the life of a child of God. We don't live our lives to get even. We don't live our lives mad and angry, because this could be the day we step into the presence of the Lord. And we don't know when it's going to be. Some of you in this building this morning, you have never trusted Christ as your Savior. Never been a time when you've said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. Well, now, knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of your sleep. You can't just go lay down, because your redemption, your salvation is nearer at hand than when you believed. I know I'm nearer home today than I was yesterday. I don't know when the day is coming that I'm going to step out in this life, and you don't either. So it's important that we live our lives with our Lord and be right with our Lord, and that we live our lives with the difficult people around us and be right with them. Just be nice. Say that out with me. Just be nice. I want you to bow your head with me. This morning, if you've never called upon the Lord, this would be a great day to come to know Christ, salvation that only Jesus can give. So you can say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I know I need a Savior. I know I'm lost. Lord Jesus, would you come into my life and forgive me and save me? He wants to be your Savior. If you'll just call upon the Lord, he will wash away all your sins, give you a brand new life. This morning, you can come to know him. Now, this morning, if you're living with bitterness and hardness, and I got to pay these folks back, and I got to get even, and you don't know how I've been treated, and I don't, but Jesus does. Jesus does. So learn the lessons of Romans chapter 12. And cast your cares upon the Lord. He'll get you through it. With difficult people, in a difficult place, in a difficult period, He'll get you through. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we recognize that You are the one who brings revenge. You are the one that sets things straight. So many things are out of our hands, but teach us, Lord, to do as Your Word has instructed us, and to just turn it all over to You and rise above our dealings with difficult people. May our eyes be set upon You. May You walk through our lives day by day and flow through us to touch others. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.